Welcome to our podcast. Today we'll be discussing the ECB decision that will take place on the 7th of March. The backdrop to these discussions is the recession in Italy, stagnation in Germany, and a sharply changed outlook for the 19-nation euro area. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Miroslav Singer, the Director for Institutional Affairs and Chief Economist at Generali, as well as the former governor of the Czech National Bank. As I was saying, in terms of our backdrop, investors have responded to these concerns. We're looking at the euro, where it seems to be at its weakest since mid-2017. The yield on the 10-year German bonds threatens to go negative for the first time since 2019. Economic sentiment index has fallen to more than 2-year low in January, which reflects the almost fast deteriorating economic environment in the euro area. Given this outlook, what are some of the main points that we can expect ahead of next week's meeting?
I think we are approaching the moment in which will be more clearly communicated that the normalization of Eurozone policies is going to take longer than indicated. They may not see the moves that the ECB planned at the end of this year. And I would say it will be more or less confirmation to the markets, because I believe the markets simply do not believe in normalization at the end of 2019.
Given these risks, what should we be really looking at then?
I think, and I believe this was the motto of latest ECB communications after its previous meetings, the data dependency is now almost a central banking buzzword pretty much everywhere. Being it in Europe, I would say this is exactly what's going. We could have been hesitant whether the slowdown for European economy is due to diesel and automotive problems with the new licensing. It seems so, it's more persistent now. At the same time, in a sense, some slowdown after a really long expansion would not be such a surprise. After all, we are living in a market economy which is cyclical. So the real question is not whether there is going to be a slowdown, but how deep it's going to be. And this is going to drive the response of central banks, including ECB.
This seems to be exactly the key issue. To what extent is this a small blip, a downside, or is this perhaps the start of a longer recession? You see, Germany almost narrowly avoided a recession at the end of the last quarter last year. There have been several senior German officials, including Peter Altmaier, the Federal Minister for Economic Affairs and Energy in Germany. He's been quite bullish on the German economy, citing the strong labour markets, support domestic demand, strong fiscal surplus. So how strong or how weak is the European economy at the moment?
I believe, as a matter of the fact, I believe the downside should be, given the right policy responses, including the monetary policy responses, the downside may not be dramatic. Because, as you properly mentioned, we have a very strong labor market. We have historically very low unemployment rates pretty much everywhere. There is simply a scope for domestic consumption and domestic investments in the case of Europe, because after all, Europe is having a trade or current account balance surplus pretty much with everywhere, meaning it can invest more, meaning it can do more on a domestic consumption side without any risk. And that, given the, and this is a big if, I must say, given the proper policy responses on macro level are done on fiscal and monetary side, I'm more skeptical on fiscal side than on monetary. This should limit the downside of the fall of growth. I would not be, with few exceptions of few countries, be so much thinking about recessions as a fall of output. I would just expect the growth of output to slow down closer to zero, but not falling. And I mean, like, there simply is a room for maneuver.
Okay, so obviously Germany was one aspect. The Italian economy, which has slipped into recession, is another kettle of fish, so to speak, perhaps. How big of a risk do you see the developments in Italy at the moment?
First, working for Generali, I would rather leave Italy to my colleagues in Milano than to comment it from Prague, but it's one economy. It's not Eurozone. I mean, like, Eurozone itself has a centers of gravity in Germany. I mean, like, there are a lot of economies who are having considerably less problems than Italy. And also Eurozone is, I dare say, used to problems of individual economies. And in case of Italy, with all slowdown, with all political, I would say, tensions. This is, I'm not saying business as usual, but if I simply think back, we've seen more dramatic developments in the Eurozone in the past. So in this respect, I would not overdo it. It's one economy, and there will be some compromises in the last moment found on a level of ECOFIN and others. And yeah, I'm not saying we should not read headlines, but I wouldn't put too much weight on them.
If we take perhaps a more macro view, then obviously another big key risk is the global trade tensions, although they seem to be subsided slightly with the sentiment from China and from Donald Trump, might be something that could emerge.
Yeah, but I believe last week brought more or less positive development in the biggest issue, which is US-China trade. By the way, this would be a huge issue for Europe, because in case of a full-fledged trade war, we would probably be the point on which a lot of Chinese goods would try. There would be an attempt to ship it to our market with predictable outcome for European producers. But saying this, it seemed to me the tension is now on a, I would say, level lower degree than a few weeks ago. There are signs that both parties seem to be closer to some reasonable outcome, and despite the fact that the outcome may not lead to the same trade as previously, I would say the risk subsided recently. Mm-hmm.
If we look at the implications of the slow growth that we have in Europe for inflation, obviously given the ECB's mandate to have inflation at below 2% or close to but below 2%, what are the challenges here?
I would say, now let me be a bit cynical, I would say below has not been a problem for many years for ECB, but close to 2 is a problem. And I believe we do not see enough inflationary pressures, which leads me to my outcome. I don't believe there is such a scope for normalization of ECB monetary policy anytime soon, because inflationary pressures are rather low in case of Europe. And if they will materialize to something stronger, it will simply need the labor market to heat more. This is the only source I see. And with the slowdown, and again, I mean, like, I'm not talking crisis, I'm talking slowdown. With the slowdown, simply there will be less of inflationary pressures, and the proper monetary policy response is then not to tighten.
One aspect that has been talked about in the various times is perhaps changing the mandate of the 2% target. What kind of scope do you think there is in terms of order to change this in the first instance?
I'm quite skeptical about the notion that the mandates of central banks should be changed in terms of 2% target. I believe if you, again, have a long history look, you find out that more and more central banks are simply moving to 2% targets. And I dare say the changing the mandate is not going to be seriously discussed, because in a sense, if you cannot achieve the reasonable goal, or it's difficult to achieve the reasonable goal, the worst thing to do is to change the goal. And I believe 2% inflation is a reasonable goal. I may have some doubts on asymmetric nature of Eurozone 2% goal, but it's written in almost in a stone in terms of EU legislation, and it will be quite an exercise to change it. And as to 2%, I see the discussion, I listen to it, but I don't think it will change anything. Either we will not see in future inflation targeting as we see it now. This is something I do not know why, but if we discuss some probabilities of changes, myself see the probability that at some point of future developments, inflation targeting will not be sufficient frame. Fine. I do not know why, but I can see nothing lasts forever. But as to 2% goal within inflation targeting, I simply do not see a likelihood of this change.
If we take a look at some of the tools at the disposal of the ECB in order to counter the potential recession that we may be entering in, obviously, in terms of the QE program, there's no more additional measures that have been adjusted. Do you see any potential consequences at this stage of effectively halting QE?
That's exactly my point. It seems to me that markets now look very skeptically on a likelihood that QE is going to end at the end of this year or be withdrawn or whatever. And that's exactly what I would say. We have weaker growth than we expected, weaker inflationary tension than we expected. So this move may not happen this year.
Peter Pret, he's recently suggested that the ECB will discuss whether to launch a new round of cheap long-term loans for the Eurozone banks in order to stimulate the lending in the region, the so-called targeted long-term refinancing operations, TLTROs. Arguably, it's been an important part of the post-euro area crisis strategy. Should these loans be extended?
I would simply be more general. I would, at this moment, extension of a loan, extension of any program in its current size is essentially neutral monetary policy. It means no change. And I would say the neutral monetary policy is what the situation seems to point at. Yeah, I would say yes, but not because of merits of a loan or any particular tool itself. Simply, this is time to, if not relax monetary policy, then definitely to wait and see.
It's interesting because, in a way, these TLTROs, they can have both obviously positive and negative implications. I mean, obviously, on the positive side, the ability of the ECB to provide funding should support the economic growth. But at the same time, the existence of this funding seems to place some signals of risk and challenges. So it seems that whatever the ECB does, it's almost stuck with a rock and a hard place.
But I think the risks are here. They are clearly read by market participants. I mean, after all, you mentioned the worst crisis, which I do not find necessary to describe what's happening, but a lot of people are discussing. I would say like recognition of risks to the global outlook or to European outlook is already here. And I would be very skeptical to the notion that confirmation of this risk by ECB is going to change the reality, because I believe the risks are widely recognized. And the discussion about slowdown and potential or probability of the crisis is already here. And I believe ECB will not add anything as a signaling or confirmation institution to this. Simply the fact that it will adjust its monetary policy outlook clearly and transparently will not confirm anything, because the market participants are already worried.
Given in that case all these various considerations, when do you think we can expect potential increases? Because, I mean, the bank's guidance has been that it's going to keep interest rates on hold at least through the summer.
I believe no sooner than next year. And here I'm one of the, you see, I'm now, of course, not a central banker anymore. I remember one of the great advantages of being a central banker is that you do not have to worry about your next moves. You need only to do the closest move right. So the central bankers do not think that much as it seems about what they will do 2 years from now. Yeah? Because they just need to do the closest monetary policy decision right. And then they have a chance and time to get new data and again to think about the closest decision. So no sooner than next year, what probably is going to be the thinking.
It's also interesting that François Villard de Gallo from the Banque de France, he said in a speech early this week, I quote here, that keeping interest rates below zero for too long may hinder the ECB's policy from trickling down to the economy, and negative rates could weigh on bank profits.
Banks could be supported if necessary, as we've seen, through other means. Of course, for banks' profits, it's good to have positive interest rates. I mean, a supervisory board of one bank in the Czech Republic, I know it very well. But at the same time, more important for the banks is to have healthy clients. And healthy clients do not come in a recession-stricken economy. And that's the whole logic of doing monetary policy.
With three board members from the ECB are stepping down, Peter Pret, Philip Lane from Central Bank of Ireland is expected to take on his role. The big question is who will take the top role and replace Mario Draghi as president. Obviously, there's a few candidates being floated around, from potentially François Villard de Gallo himself, Jens Weidmann, or Ricky Lekanen. What's your outlook here?
First, the board or the decision-making body of ECB is wide. We have quite a few countries in Eurozone. So three, in case of normal central bank with sort of 7-member or 9-member strong monetary policy decision body and similar size of the top management board, that would be dramatic. But in case of ECB, given the size of top decision-making bodies, it's less dramatic. Saying it, of course, the change of the leader is always significant. And probably I would not be alone saying that the sooner we will have some certainty of a replacement, the better.
What do you think the chances of Jens Weidmann getting the role, given how averse he has been to the unconventional monetary policy in the first instance?
Honestly, I can speculate, but I have no better knowledge than you. I'm in Prague, I'm living in non-Eurozone country. The decision is going to be driven in Eurozone by the top leaders of top Eurozone economies, think Germany, France, others. I have no information advantage to engage in speculation on who's going to be it.
Fair enough. Perhaps a final question in that case, obviously being in the Czech Republic. Do you see the Czech Republic joining the euro area anytime soon?
No, simple answer is no. No matter what we can talk about economic merits and discuss, let me be pretty clear on this. We had elections before the last year. We will have elections this year. It doesn't seem likely that any political party that loudly supports accession to Eurozone is going to do well. And that's simply going to drive the decision. This country doesn't seem to be willing to enter Eurozone because its voters do not like the idea.
Great. Thank you so much, Miroslav, for joining me today.
You're welcome.
It's been very, very interesting to have you on board. And thank you so much for your thoughts. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please check in onto our Opfif podcast for further upcoming interesting discussions.